Nicole.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Megan. I'm an addict.
Hi, Megan.
Speaking is probably like one of the least favorite things I do around here, and for some reason I've been doing it a lot. And when Alex first gave me this topic, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And I started thinking about it, I'm like, what am I even going to say? I talked to my old sponsor. I was at a wedding, and I told her I was speaking on. She's like, but it does. And I just started laughing. And the thing about the literature for me is that it's based on experience. Like, what's written in our literature is our experience as a fellowship. So it doesn't lie, but that doesn't mean that everything in there is going to fit me in any given day. Like, some things might pop out to me more, and other times they might just kind of seem like they don't really, like, hit me on the same level. So I started thinking about it, and I'm like, okay, maybe the literature doesn't lie, but I'm just going to share about how important the literature is for me. And it was funny, I saw a friend up here, and he was like, just tell your story, because that's your story. And what happened to me when I finally was kind of, like, at the end of the road, like it talks about when we do recover, was that I was surrounded by people in recovery. My mother was in recovery. A sponsee was coming over my house and checking on me because I had just almost died as a result of this disease. And I was kind of like at that point of like, you know, do I go to the bitter ends? Do I find out what's out there? You know, like, you know, do I find a new way of life? Like, what's happening here? And I wasn't aware that that was all going on, but I had some awareness that I might have a problem. And that friend said to me, she was like, well, if you think you have a problem, I suggest that you get the basic text and read Who is an Addict out of it, and that will help you. And I was like, okay, I'm not sure if I can do that. But we like went upstairs in my house, and we found this basic text, and you know, I sat out on the couch with her, and I opened it up, and I just looked at it. I was like, I'm just going to read this later. And after she left that night, I sat up in my room, and I read Who is an Addict out of the basic text, and someone was sharing my story. I couldn't pretend anymore that, like, I didn't know. I couldn't sit on that crossroad of, like, you know, well, maybe I don't have a problem. When I read Who is an Addict out of the basic text, it was so evident to me that I was. And then it scared the shit out of me because I was like, oh, fuck. If I admit that I have a problem, I'm going to have to do something about it. And I still had some stuff in my house, and I wrestled with the decision, like, all night long. Like, just take something and forget what you read, or, like, talk to somebody and maybe go to a meeting and get a white key tag. And by some miracle, by some grace, I never used again. That literature spoke to me, and it broke down the walls of denial that I had tried to build up over the years and not face the fact that I had a problem, that I was an addict. And it just ripped right through me to my soul. As I, like, stayed clean, I ended up picking up a white key tag, like, 2 weeks later. And I used that as my clean day because I was in such a fog still. Like, I don't know whatever day that was that I read this book and never used again. But May 20th, 2003 is my clean date. And, like, after I got here, it's not like I was just, like, you know, coming in here and was, like, full of love, you know, and brimming with honesty like it talks about in our literature. I came in here and I was so scared, and I was so afraid to be seen, and I was so afraid for people to notice me, and I dreaded going to meetings, and if I did share about something, like, someone would want to talk to me afterwards, and it was just so uncomfortable. So one of the things that I did is I had a few group of people, but this book was like my best friend. I read this book every night for about a year, and my favorite meetings were literature meetings because it spoke to me in a way that nothing else ever had. And I guess in a way it was telling me my truth. And it was really funny because anytime I mentioned to anybody that this was my topic, they're like, oh, you'll be fine. Like, I don't think I've ever heard you share once ever without, not like directly quoting it, because it's not like I have like a photographic memory, but like without referring to the literature in some way. The literature was so important for me to get clean, you know, reading that book, realizing I had a problem, and then so vital for me not only staying clean, but starting the recovery process. The Basic text is absolutely my favorite literature that we have. I love all of our literature, though. I was at a meeting this morning, and the topic was self-acceptance, and the person just kept talking about that IP. And it just reminds me that there's, like, so much more here, you know? Like, some things I forget about, like, the longer I stay clean. But my first NA home group was actually a literature meeting, but for some reason, we just picked IPs all the time for the longest time. Like, we said we were a progressive study group, and we progressively read IPs. But the thing that I love about it, it's just always so simple, you know, and it's always so basic. And because it's so broad, it allows, like our symbol talks about, for like every version of the recovering addict. I forget how it says it exactly, but that's what that circle on our symbol is supposed to represent, that anyone who thinks they have a problem can come here and find a solution. And the way that our literature is written in that way that I can't disqualify myself. My disease always wanted to disqualify me. Like when I said that I read that and it cut through me to my soul, you know, the longer I stay clean, the more my head would try to tell me things like, oh, but like maybe you just had emotional problems. And now that you've recovered a little bit, like NA was cool and all, but like you're not really an addict. You just were a fucked up teenager. And tell me things like I didn't use hard enough or long enough or, you know, like all those things. And sometimes I'd be afraid to like share with other people like the truth about how I used because I thought that I didn't belong here. And I think that's why I turned to the literature so often in the beginning, because every time I turned to the literature, there was none of that. You know, there was no opinion in there. It's just experience, strength, and hope. You know, there's nothing in there that I could use to disqualify me. In fact, anything I read in there just reassured me that if I thought I had a problem, if I thought I was an addict, that I was cool here. And that's all that really matters at the end of the day. I came to like an awakening maybe about 2 years ago. I was at a meeting, they were reading out of the literature, and for so long, like I said, like I always wanted to use like how I use in some ways, like I don't really belong here and I always feel uncomfortable. And we read something and it talked about like we don't really focus on our addiction here. We focus on recovery. You know, like the past is the past. And it made me just have this sense of, you know, because when I come here, I'm not focused on what or how much I use. I'm focused on the disease of addiction and recovering from that disease. You know, like, I still do all the same things I did in the beginning, like today for the most part, because those basics never change. And, like, one of those things is reading the literature. And I don't know how much longer I can talk on this topic, honestly. I guess all I really need to say is that I'm grateful that our message is any addict, and I'm any addict, you know, and I know that's in this book, and I'm grateful that I was able to get and stay clean through this program, and there was literature to help guide me along with, you know, the fellowship. There's like all these people. When I was new, people used to talk about this all the time, like, well, the program isn't the fellowship, the program is the steps. And, you know, when I read, like, what is the NA program, it talks about it's a set of principles, which to me is the steps, and a fellowship. There's no dividing the two. I can sit there and I can read this book every night, but unless I have a sponsor to help me, unless I have meetings to go to where other people can relate to me, it's just a book and me. I need it all, you know? I can't just choose one part of this program. I need to do it all, like it's suggested in there. I think it's another thing in there that I've always related to, where it talks about, like, we learned that it wouldn't work if we tried to adapt our life to the program. We tried to adapt the program to our life. We had to adapt our life to the program. And the longer I stay clean, the more evident it is to me that this is a way of life. Just like it talks about, find a new way to live. This is a way of life for me. This isn't something I just did to stop hurting in the beginning. You know, and maybe that's all it was in the beginning. Like, when I came in here, I was broken. I wanted to die. I kind of felt like if the steps didn't help me feel better in some way, if I didn't get some relief, I'd probably kill myself. And what's been revealed is beyond like anything that I could have possibly imagined for myself when I first came in. Like the amount of freedom that I have today, like, you know, like that freedom from self-obsession, you know, that it talks about. Like I'm not caught up in all that today. I mean, I can be on any given day, but, you know, like I have fear, but fear doesn't rule my life. You know, I can get resentful, but I have forgiveness today. I don't always have to be stuck in like, it's not my way and I can't do it and make an excuse that somehow this is letting me down, so I'm going to go use. You know, I have freedom from that thinking today of like, I'm the victim. And everything that I have basically came from coming in here broken, admitting that I had a problem first and foremost, stopping to use, getting a sponsor and working steps, and just applying it to my life. And my life is wonderful today. You know, even when I'm struggling, it's still really good. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Megan. I would like to introduce the second speaker, Derek B., from The Message is Hope, from Group of NA in the Vineland area?
Vineland.
It's like you said.
All right.
Yeah, what's up, everybody?
Hey, what's up, Derek?
Fuck y'all sleep. I'm mad at me, Derek. Grateful to be here. I wasn't, but I am now. I'm going to get into today. Matter of fact, let's take it back 2 weeks. My wife's car had broke down. We live in two different opposite directions from home, and we both average around 45, 50 minutes to get to work. So I gave her my car. Costs about $400 to get a car fixed, right? So if you're living like me, that's $400 from a bill they ain't getting, right? This week, my car breaks down. She was driving my car. I almost made it about her. What the fuck are you doing with these cars? Right? We take it to the shop, but we had to get it towed to the shop. He tells me $700 just to get it to run to see if I didn't fuck up the motor. True story, right? So, you know, we get my wife's car back, and then I call this guy, and he's telling me all kind of crazy shit's wrong with my car, and it's going to be $4,200. And he needs a $3,500 deposit. I'm gonna tell you now, he ain't getting no $4,200. But I have to think about what am I supposed to be doing now? Because immediately I want to shut down, or I want to curse you out, or I want to say what the fuck, right? And then the little boy in me comes out. You know, the little selfish child comes out. So I thought I handled it pretty well, and I said, well, look, when I come back, man, I'll come see you and we'll talk, and what can I do about it? And I called my wife and I told her, she's trying to invent some shit that didn't happen and for me to say happened. And I said, well, no, that didn't happen at that time. I had another vehicle. So all in all, I'm saying to myself, right, now either you can focus on the shit back home, or you can focus on where you're going, right? At the end of the first step, it says, it ain't where we've been that counts. It's where we're going, right? My sponsor likes to put it like, you know, the car window, the windshield and the rear view mirror. Now, you don't drive constantly focused on that little mirror. You fucking crash, right? It's about the big picture. So I said, okay, I made a conscious decision, even though I didn't let it go, I was gonna let it go, even though I didn't let it go, if you understand. We say, I let it go, but do we really? If you like me, it takes a while to let it go, but if you keep telling yourself you let it go, then eventually you will, right? Something that comes to mind, very early in the literature, a labor of love lives in the harvest, and it always comes in its right season, right? And what that's implying is that the quality of effort I put into my recovery is the quality of that recovery I reap from, right? And I'm thinking to myself, I said, you know, every day, since my clean date is 2006, December 14, 2006. Like you, I didn't really remember the date because I was in I was almost psychotic. Because I was hearing voices. I think we all hear voices. But I was talking to myself, and I was talking out loud to myself. Because at the end, every time I didn't want to use, I got into this verbal argument with nobody there but me, and people were looking at me, but they didn't understand. I was trying to tell the disease to leave me the fuck alone, and that's how it was. That's where it took me, right? So I'm saying to myself, everything that I have experienced in recovery since that day is a new experience for me, right? Because I didn't know nothing about father. I didn't know nothing about husband. I didn't know nothing about finances. I didn't know nothing about paying bills. I didn't know nothing about fucking eating regularly, bathing regularly, none of that shit. The fuck? And I've experienced some things where humility, thinking I know every fucking thing. You know, like my sponsor tells me, the attic anthem is, I know. I know. Yeah, I know. You know, and that's how I was early on in recovery. Not with him so much, but with everybody else. You know, because I didn't come in here loving every fucking body. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't even capable of that. But what I did understand was that I did need you to help me with something. Whatever it was, I don't know why I need you, but I do need you because the literature says that I need you. Okay, I'll run with that. Like you, fine job in sharing clear message. That did it for me. When I read Who's an Addict, there was no denying the fact that I was an addict. I'd never been to Narcotics Anonymous. I never even knew Narcotics Anonymous existed. I heard of AA, you know, and I thought that was some weird shit, you know, a bunch of drunk motherfuckers in there. You know, I'm an alcoholic, and that shit was foreign to me. And then, you know, come to find out that my last run in the streets of Camden, I copped right across the street from a meeting. I went to a celebration, a sponsee brother celebration, and it was right across the street from where I last copped. And I said, damn. It was there all along, and I didn't see it. Yeah, but what I went in. So my story is from rehab and the crisis center to rehab, and you know, so saying to myself, man, when I first got clean, let me be honest, I didn't give a fuck about being a husband. I didn't give a fuck about principles. I didn't give a fuck about fellowshipping. Only cared about not using. But in order to not use, you have to care about a lot of things. That took a while. So, you know, like I'm the kind of guy, like, I learned a lot through pain. Because I kept doing the same thing over and over and over, expecting different results. Well, I'm not using that, it's different. I beg to differ. Hurts even more because you're not using. And that's how I've learned some of the things in this program, based off of doing old shit. You know, I brought a lot of old ass behaviors into the rooms, and y'all tolerated that. Y'all tolerated that. Where if it was me, thank God it wasn't me. Get the fuck out. Get the fuck out of here. You know, and I gotta say that, you know, I learned something about people in the fellowship, what they were working with, you know, and then I strive to be more like y'all, even though I wasn't too good outside the meeting with that shit. I learned how to be a member in the rooms, you know. And I would take a little bit with me, because I would have to take that shit home, you know. And me and my wife have been married like 20 I can't get the number right for some reason, but and I wanted to be a father so bad, because I didn't want my kids to grow up like I grew up. You know, and not to blame my mother for anything, because she did the best she could. She was an addict too. We all were fucking addicts. You know, household, gambling, drugs. That's what it was. But I wanted to be a father, man, because they didn't ask to be here. You know, we made a conscious decision to bring them here, and then I turned my back on them. You know, that's how I felt growing up. You know, every time my mom got the flavor of the month, or every 2 months, and we get to know him, he was gone. And I kind of carried that same behavior with women and a lot of other things, man. So, I sponsor guys, right? I have a sponsor who has a sponsor who has a sponsor. Past that, I don't fucking care, because it's none of my business, right? But we all are in the program, and we all read from the literature. We got some people doing some crazy shit, don't even use the literature. And I say, sponsors, this motherfucker ain't using the literature. What the hell is this? He said, well, why did that person ask them to sponsor? He said, don't look at what he's doing, but ask the question. He said, why'd you ask me to sponsor you? And I said, well, look, you had a clean time, you knew the literature, and you was a single dad. You know, and I thought that was some big shit. He said, well, when they asked to sponsor somebody, when they asked them, what do you think they saw? Yeah, he said, now mind your fucking business. Alright, you know, it ain't about me. It ain't about what I think. It's not. But see, he took me to the literature. He told me, you ain't got to listen to me. Every time that I didn't understand something, you ain't got to take my word for it. It's in the literature. So it's truth. Why is it truth? You got honesty to a dishonest person. You got open-mindedness to a closed-minded person. You got willingness to an unwilling person, and so forth. So it was clear to see that this was about right. That's right. You know, doing what you got. Now, you came in here, you want to stop using. I'm telling you how to stop using, because after you put the drug down, you even fucking worse. Even worse. And this is what you got to do. So now I had to make a decision. Am I going to do what you do? Or am I going to kind of do what you do? You know, we want to put a spin on our own shit. And with that comes pain, and it comes a lot of anguish, and it comes a lot of, because, you know, it's a bitch to be clean, be working, be semi-responsible, and then you go home and you get your family back, and then they don't want you there because you're even worse now than you was when you were fucking using. At least you weren't here. Now you're in the house with us. And you're driving us fucking crazy, man. You know, because I was still belligerent. I was still violent. I was still abusive, you know. And on the flip side of that, I was still angry. I was still scared. I was still shaky. So all that together, that's a bomb. Ready to explode quite a few times a day, if I recall. And then, like, the last argument I had, you know, and I saw my daughter crying, I said, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. What I didn't know is that all this was a result of the work I wasn't putting in. First step to me was don't fucking use. That's the only thing I took from the first step. The only thing. Don't use but be an asshole. Don't use and be abusive. It's not really what I had in mind, really, when I think about it. You know, so I had to ask for help. You know, literature says humility is to recovery as food and water is to staying alive. That's deep. That's deep. I suffer with an overblown ego at times. And I say overblown because in fits of rage keep it real. In fits of rage, I want to tell you who you think I should be. But you don't know who you're talking to. I don't know who the fuck I'm talking to. You know what I mean? It's like the image was still flashing, man, and I'm still thinking back to like I had to be this tough guy when I just wanted to be a part of something, and it never left me, you know. And I go back there sometimes, you know. And really, I'm a teddy bear. Keep it honest. I'm a cool guy. But I had some shit I had to work with, man. I had to work on, man. I had to start getting honest about what the fuck was going on in my life. You know, I had to practice an open mind. I was like, how the fuck do you practice an open mind? Like, how do you open your mind? How do you open your mind? So he just looked at me, shake his head. Said, we're gonna work. We're gonna do some work. We're going to do some work. So, you know, I stayed away from my family for quite some time. You know, one of the lines in It Works How and Why in the second tradition, I mean, second step, people tend to live what they believe. That is so true a statement. Because if you don't believe in sponsorship, you won't get a sponsor. If you don't believe in meetings, you won't go. You don't believe in a home group, you won't get one. But if you do, get the sponsor, get the home group, work the steps. Then there's spiritual growth. Then you're freeing yourself. So now, that's what I wanted. That's what I wanted. I said, because I'm not really free, even though I'm not using. I don't feel free. That's fucked up. To be in a state of, I don't know. You know what I mean? To be in a state of a perpetual nothingness. So, sat me down. Then I got to the fourth step. And I almost used, because I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to get honest, again. So if we talk about principles, and you practice them every day and all that kind of stuff, well, you try to practice them every day. Because now I had gotten to the point where I could free myself. Why don't I want to free myself? I'm still worried about what everybody else thinks of me. Even though I'm telling you, I don't give a fuck what you think about me. Still sick. Still sick. Right? So I made it through that. And then the fun part, the 6th and 7th step. You know, this is the fun part. You get to tell me some shit I thought I already knew. But then he added a couple more. And we, you know, it wasn't about, you know, 200 defects and all that kind of stuff. That's bullshit, you know. I mean, that's what y'all do, you know, fine. I addressed what was fucking with me at that moment. What was killing me was my lack of commitment, my selfishness, and I'm not even going to go there. And then, when it came to the 7th step, I picked selfishness. Which really I should have picked commitment, because God was telling me, pick commitment, asshole. And I didn't do it. But a month later, I got honest with my sponsor. And I said, yeah, man, I think that commitment thing, I should work on that. He said, I knew it. What you pick, so you pick what you pick, so hey. So again, I had to get honest about what was really going on with me. You know, this program, what I'm learning today, man, on a deeper level, right? I'm learning surrender on a deeper level. I'm learning willingness on a deeper level. I'm learning, let me tell you, I'm not good with social events outside of NA. Like a meeting, speaker jam, convention, that's it. I don't give a fuck about bowling. I don't give a fuck about dance. I don't give a fuck about none of that shit. I don't, because I don't need you to go do that, because I wasn't doing that any fucking way. Right? Because I used alone. And I started that shit early in using. You know, and then I always felt apart. So isolation came quite natural to me. Seemed like the right thing to do. But I don't do that stuff. But what I'm saying is I'm not good with family. I'm not good with family. You know, whatever it is, whether they like me or I like them, because some of them have a right not to like me. I said that because I need to say that. But I did like this year, I was trying to make a more conscious effort to do some things she wanted to fucking do, which involved family. You know, when I first did it, you know, it was like, all right, I'm here, and yeah, all right, yeah, how you doing? You know, hey, how you doing? You know, and I'm off on the corner on my phone when everybody else is having a good time. Here I go again with that same shit. So you got to remind me of time, because I don't have nothing on. And so I noticed, I really saw that, man, for the first time. Because last year when I came up here, man, I wasn't in a good state of mind, in a good state of spirit. And I kind of did that up here at the convention all week long, all weekend. You know, I kind of stayed to myself. I kind of stayed up in the room. And I'm like, that's fucked up. If you come 500 fucking miles or whatever to not meet people, like, you're probably the only motherfucker that does that. So I made a conscious effort today, and to be a part of, you know, because I still struggle with that. I know in the 10th step, man, it talks about that pressure valve. You know, this step is that pressure valve. And I have to allow myself the privilege of thinking. That's a strong statement. The privilege of thinking. So now I'm talking about not, how can I say this, be politically correct, and any correct. I'm not going to do it. Because I'm struggling with doing it, and I don't want to, you know, so. But in them moments, man, like I need to, I can think for myself today, and I need to make a conscious decision. Like, what, you know what you're doing here now? Do you want to go down this road? Do you want to not participate? Do you want to not be a part of? And you came to not be a part of? I mean, that's kind of like a newcomer coming into the meeting, sitting in the back of the corner, and you don't, hoping to God you don't come over there. Hoping to God you don't come over. Hoping to God you're not talking to him. Yeah. 9.5 years clean. I'm still acting like that. I'm still acting like that. So, you know, I got a little bit outside myself. You know, do they talk about shit? I don't have no clue what the fuck they talking about. You know what I'm saying? I don't have no, like, you know, they talk about like church, and then they'll talk about like somebody having a baby and all that kind of shit. I don't want to talk about that shit. I really don't. You know, I know it's selfish, you know, surprise. But I said, well, let me not be a complete fucking idiot. Right? Let me just still nod my head or some shit. Or just ask who y'all talking about. Yeah. And you know, try to get outside myself. You know what I mean? A little bit, man. This program works. The principles are designed to change from what I came in here as to a, how can I say this without being vulgar? Change me. Just put it that way. Just change me. Right? Because there's no end of the line here. There's no purpose or a role model to recover an addict that I need to achieve. I just want to change. I just want to grow. You know what I mean? I just want to be fucking regular guy. Can I just be Derek? I don't want to be like the Muslim name, and I don't want to be the fucking jail name. I don't want to be fucking Big D. I don't want to be none of that shit. I don't. I just want to be me. You know, and in order to find me, I gotta let people help me. And that's really like a fucking oxymoron or some shit, man. Like, I need to find me, I need to let you help me find me. Like, and then I'm always used to, like, you don't know me. Like, I don't know me. But I'll say it. And then it becomes a belief. You know what I'm saying? And I got the, like, all these false beliefs I came in here with. You know, so, I, you know, it's hot as a motherfucker in here. I'm starting to sweat, so that means it's time to go. I want to thank the group, man. I want to thank. I gave you something. You know, I hope I gave you something, man. I don't want to come. I didn't come all the way the fuck down here for shits and giggles. You know what I'm saying? Like when Alex called, Alan called me. It was more will be revealed 10:45 at night on Saturday. Right? Then it was fucking the literature don't lie at 1:00. Right? So then it was like, oh, you're not at the amphitheater, you're at Borough Hall. I'm like, what the fuck, man?
What the fuck? Yeah, but I said that to myself. I kept a straight face the whole time. I was saying it to myself. And I said, you know what? Whatever you need. Because really, all of us have enough, look, all of us have enough experience working the program. We can share any fucking thing. It don't matter what it is. As long as it ain't fucking loving you and losing me and all that bullshit. I don't know what the fuck they get that from. That's something that, you know, like, I don't get that. I don't get that at all. I don't get that at all. That's what they do. That's what they do. And I'll sit there and watch them try to share on it and be amused the whole time. But I identify with some of the things they say, and the rest, you know, and the rest, where it's at, you know what I'm saying? So I want to thank the group for giving me a chance to come out here and open up and let y'all know who I am. The literature does not lie. The principles don't lie. So how can the literature lie? Very, very clear. And thanks for letting me share.